Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about how to pray for missionaries. This message was recorded at a worship service in 2013. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, how to pray for missionaries.
We will look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul says, ye helping together by prayer for us. Paul was just talking about him being emotionally flat. And one of the things that we have to understand, those who are in the warfare are under bombardment. And it is not shocking to find people who are worn to a frazzle and emotionally flat. And so Paul is saying, where he says, we were pressed out of measure in verse 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says we were depressed. And because of the Titus touch, his life was encouraged by that. And then in verse 11, he says, you also helping together by prayer for us. 1 Thessalonians, Paul simply makes a quick statement, brethren, pray for us. So I'm going to take Paul's request. I'm not going to preach on Paul's prayers, but I want to take segments of Paul's request for prayer and take an example of how that will work for us. First of all, we pray for the sending of the missionaries. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. What did Jesus say? After he made the statement, look, the harvest is white. The fields are white. Pray you that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the vineyard. And I pray that as you have this whole wedge of teenagers here, that from that group of teenagers, you as a body of believers will be saying, oh God, send forth laborers into the harvest field from this body of believers. You teenagers say, pray, God, would you send me if that's what you want? But Jesus is actually challenging the disciples to pray for the sending of missionaries. One of the thrilling things to me as I studied the high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, it starts with doxology of glory of God and ends with soteriology. And in that end of that prayer, Jesus is praying for those who are not yet saved, that they will be saved by your words. And so the sending of missionaries. Secondly, pray for the safety of missionaries. Not only say, God, send people to the work, send people to the harvest. God, in that, may they be saved. What was he praying? Pray for us that we will be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because not all men have faith. So when we send a missionary off, we say, well, on your way. But you don't know what dangers lurk. You don't know what opposition lurks. And I'd like us to look in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. You remember the prayer meeting that was held for Peter who was imprisoned? There was just a martyr. And we find that the early church experienced the loss of James as he was slain. And because Herod saw that it pleased the people, he was asking to bring Peter forth out of prison that he might also be slain. So James, the pastor there, was killed with the sword. And then verse 5 of Acts chapter 12, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, what are we seeing here? All of a sudden, the church, this newborn group of believers, believing that Peter was next one to be martyred, begins to pray for his safety. I don't think the church was expecting the answer that they got. I do believe they were expecting an answer, but I believe they were expecting that the mind of the leader would be changed, not for Peter to be released from prison by an angel. And then look in verse 12. And when they had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. What were these people doing? Praying for the safety of Peter. They did not realize that the angel had already come and God had already answered the prayer, and Peter was knocking at the door. And when Rhoda comes and tells them Peter is at the door, they implied she was crazy. He can't be there because we're praying for him to be released. But I don't think it was unbelief on their part. I think they were shocked at how it happened. I think they were changed. The next day, I think they were thinking that the leader was going to say, no, that's going to be okay. Now, let's look in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. We see the example again on this, where Paul is saying, and note all of the requests begin with that. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that, so there's a purpose clause again, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have to the saints may be accepted of the saints. What is Paul saying here? I am praying for my deliverance and for safety in the work. Now, how was this illustrated? You remember in Acts chapter 23, and you find that Peter was locked up, and a group of 40 people banded together and committed that they would not eat or drink until Paul was killed. And so Paul is here in the palace. In verse 12, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together, bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Then verse 13, and there were many, more than 40, which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, as God would have it, there was the working of the Holy Spirit. Paul's nephew, so Paul's sister must have lived in the palace there, and Paul's nephew heard this discussion, went to the leaders, and said that he needed to talk to Uncle Paul. So he goes to tell Uncle Paul that there's a plan to kill you. And here we see verse 15, and therefore ye with the council signified to the chief that he would bring him down to you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfect concerning him, or we, or ever he will come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, this was Paul's nephew. His sister must have been a very high position there. He went and entered the castle and told Paul. So Paul went to the centurion and said, I've got to talk to you. And interestingly enough, the centurion gets 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen, 470 men and horses and spears. And Paul is right in the middle of this group. But what was God doing? God was protecting his servant. And then, thirdly, the success of the message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Do we think Paul was didn't have power to preach? Did we think that Paul was weak? No, Paul was one-on-one trained. What the disciples had in 3 years as a group, The Apostle Paul had one-on-one for 3 years. It wasn't that he was impotent. It wasn't that he was not able to preach. But what he was crying to the believing church, would you please pray that as I go to preach, not only that we would be safe, but that the message would have success. He said, well, mission is going out there, the gospel is there, but we are commanded to pray specifically. God, as they're teaching, as they're preaching, may the word of God have free course and success in the midst of that. When Paul was on Mars Hill, he got up, he preached, he debated, some mocked, some procrastinated, and some believed. And the number that believed went on in their growth. So as Dr. Heron is preaching here Sundays, there's a body of believers out there that have harvest in all of your staff names on the prayer list, and they are praying when Dr. Heron is up preaching. And many people in the States are listening and watching that the word that is going forth will have success. And then pray for the service to the saints. Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 31 that he is saying, pray that. And what was he asking for here? Verse 31, we read the first part, pray that I might be delivered from them, do not believe. That's the safety. And that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. He said, not only pray for safety with those who are unregenerate, but pray that my service to the saints might be accepted. You know, many times the battles that go on in ministries is not the unsaved hating the believers. It's believers not accepting believers. And you end up with a real confusion. And so you build one another. And as the ministry goes, pray that the staff in Guam would be building one another. Pray for the staff on the mission fields in Europe. And pray for the people who are ministering in these areas, that their service to the saints would be accepted. Say, God, as I pray for so-and-so, send him workers. As I pray for so-and-so, oh God, keep them safe and let their word be successful. And God, let their service with one another be a building service to one another and not a head-to-head conflict. Because many people leave the field not because of snakes and bugs, but because of conflicts with other believers. Because Satan knows he can't attack the doctrine, but he will attack the relationships. And then pray for the speaking of the message. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, and we see verse 18 through 20. We find the request that Paul is given, and he is pleading for help in this matter. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me, and here's the word that again, that's a purpose clause, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That is, there would not be fear when it comes to the point of preaching the gospel. When you look all through the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with boldness. And that is so crucial. Now let's look in Colossians chapter 4. And we see again a challenge. In fact, I almost preached on this Colossians passage tonight, because it is so loaded. There's a group of verses right at the end that is so loaded. But I felt more passionate to give a guideline, the practical guideline on the Wednesday night prayer group, that we might know how to pray specifically. Now we see Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Without praying also for us, and there's the key word again, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So Paul is saying, when I go into these regions to preach, and when I go into these places to open the word to preach, pray that I might have boldness and utterance to make known the way I ought to make known that word, that there would be no confusion for the speaking of the message. And then for the supply of the missionary. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 16, we're very familiar with that whole passage through there, learning the lesson of contentment. Then he is thanking the Philippian church for their giving, for the gifts that they'd given. And he is commenting to them and praising them for the support that they had given. But then he said, verse 17 of Philippians chapter 4, not because I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit, there's a word, that may abound to your account. You realize the supply that God has given to you, the money that God has given to you, every single penny that is given is very accurately, very cleanly recorded by the one who knows all, and every penny is giving fruit to the account. When that message goes out into the islands, people get saved, they go back to the islands, you are giving money as unto the Lord, and that supply of the mission might be given by what God has given to you. So what category would it be? Well, financial is one. Meet their needs financially. Physical needs. Do you realize the stress that is involved in ministry? You say, it must be pretty nice. When I was pastoring in Michigan, an associate pastor, people would ask me, what do you do all week? That question implied that I did nothing. So I said, I take Monday off, we golf a lot, and then mess around Tuesday. I don't do much of anything because I just wait till Wednesday. And then Wednesday, I'd share some thoughts. Wednesday night, Thursday, I kind of mess around, then plan an activity for the weekend with the young people. And why do you ask? You know what I'm saying? Well, you can see what a specimen of health I am after 49 years of ministry. A lot of it's my dumbness, but a lot of it's just plain stress. My hair is white. I did not bleach it and go to Florida. It's not maturity. It is not wisdom. It's stress. I want you to understand that. Well, he must be wise. No, I'm stressed. And so there is a physical. And I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians 7. Because you say, well, Paul never was. Well, let's check and see what he shares on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And it's very, very interesting what Paul shares here. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh, that's the word sarx, our physical body, had no rest. That's a perfect tense. In other words, that's a dot and a continuous line. Our physical flesh was in a perpetual state of no rest. We were completely worn out. We were troubled on every side with outward fightings, with inward fears. You say, Paul feared? You know, you say, I can't picture Paul as being fearful. If If you were to read Acts chapter 18, and Paul went on in spite of friends, he was alone, he went on in spite of funds, he worked with his own hands, with Aquila and Priscilla, he went on in spite of his feelings, he was flat emotionally, he went on in spite of his fears. In Acts 18, God said, Paul, fear not to go into Corinth, I have many who will be believers there. But Paul was literally afraid to go into Corinth. And he went on in spite of these fears, and he went on by faith. But Paul says, you said of me, my physical presence is weak, my speech is contemptible. But he said, without were fightings, within were fears, nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down, depressed, brought low, downcast. What was Paul sharing here? I'm physically worn out. Outside is fighting. Inside there are fears. And God who comforts those that are downcast, are depressed, who are brought low, comforted us by the coming of Titus. This is what we call the Titus touch. Why do we need to come together as believers on Wednesday night? Why do we need to gather as a body of believers on Sunday? Because we were not created to function in the vacuum. Some people say, I don't go to church, I don't get anything. I tell people, I don't go to church to get something, I go to give something. Every time I go to give something, I come with something because God has dumped a blessing. And so pray for the physical supply of missionaries. And then pray for family. Because guess what? The family is a target for those who are in the war. There's a huge target because nothing will discourage the heart of a person in service than a trouble with a child. Nothing will make you say, I quit. I don't want any more of this. If this is how God is, he can't take care of this. But there is a war against, and say, oh, God, protect the family. Protect that person, that child, that mom, because there's spiritual warfare. You say, well, but shouldn't we make wise choices and shouldn't we? No, this is spiritual warfare. We have an enemy who does not sleep, and he does not play games. What is our protection? Prayer. This is what is being emphasized here. That we might, oh God, pray. One of the things I regret being raised in an unsaved home is not having a prayer base in those early days where nobody prays for somebody like a family member prays for somebody. A lot of people without the family, as soon as see you crash and burn, people in your family pray diligently for you. But when you don't have that base sometimes, you really feel alone in some of that spiritual warfare that is going on. And then the cultural battle, long range. When you go into cultural differences, there's a lot of different struggles. But you look what happens in this warfare. Demas. Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Love this present world. See, he thought, no, I'm getting tired of stuff biffed at us. Every place we go, we end up locked up. We have to pray for Paul. He's in a clink again. And then we got this stuff thrown at us the other day. And why don't we learn some public relations stuff. And then he starts seeing what the world has. Chariot with gold gild on the wheels. And here we are walking and sandals are shot. And the culture can become attractive or distractive. And then pray for the satisfaction in their service. as we come to a close, Romans again, chapter 15. It's quite an interesting request that he makes. Romans chapter 15 and verse 32, and there's another that in this list of requests in prayer. Pray that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and that with you be refreshed. Pray for the satisfaction in service together. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 18, there's another good verse for you to write there. He said that I might be refreshed in my spirit and in your spirit. Pray that there would be satisfaction in the service together. And Paul says, I want to come with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. You know what's such a blessing to get with other believers, even if it's in different cultures, in different parts of the world? There is the refreshing of that being together. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. He has a that request that I didn't get in this original thought. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Pray that there would be perfection in the complete will of God. That there would be spiritual maturity growing. So write at number 8 there, pray for spiritual maturity in the saints who are growing. So I would challenge each of us as church members that we would start pointed praying, specifically praying for specific things that we might see the continuation of God's good hand of blessing in the work as it goes forth here. So I hope this is a good little practical aid for you, and maybe look in more detail. Another tremendous study, a couple years back, I committed to memorize the prayers of Paul, what he prayed for, but this is what he was asking prayer for. And this, I think, would be so helpful, and how much could be helped by us helping together.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on how to pray for missionaries. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. And join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.